Hello and welcome to Null Signal Station, the official podcast of Null Signal Games, for all your news, views and goings on from around the community. My name's Ed, he, him, and I'm joined this week by...
It's me, Sanjay. Hi, he, him are my pronouns.
So, loads, we're going through this episode. We're going to start off with a little bit of news for you. Then we've got a doubleheader interview with PSK and Yakuza, talking a bit about Worlds and a bit about prize support and what goes into running a tournament. We've also got, as usual, our rules expert, Cephalopod Wizard, joining us for another section there. And we've got an exciting announcement at the end as well.
Yeah, I do not actually know one way or the other whether you can call something a doubleheader if it's two things at the same time, but I do know that the interview is lovely. We had a really nice chat with those folks.
Let's start with the news. Where should we start, Sanjay? What would you like to start with?
Why don't we start with, let's start with the Null Signal news. We have a new ban list update that's going to be coming into officialness pretty soon. And we have two cards that are on the ban list, Dr. Keeling and DreamNet. Both banned. I will say when it comes to these ban list updates, the ban list team puts together some really nice rationale for, you know, why a card is banned. So check that out as well. But also we have an unbanning. Lam, the martial arts breaker from Katara cycle, is unbanned. You can use it now.
Yeah, it's a card that I used to use quite a lot, actually, Sanjay. It's a color I really like. So it's nice to see it come back into the meta. Hopefully we'll see some fun stuff going on with that.
Yeah, hopefully we'll see new art with somebody punching with the force of a zebra as well.
Another article that we saw on the Null Signal website was a little update about EU fulfillment. Obviously, there's been some issues with deliveries of cards where people have ordered and haven't quite got them yet. The main announcement there, which is really important, is we do expect cards to be in your hands in time for Worlds. That's our expectation. If that isn't likely to be the case or you're concerned at all, get in touch with us. There's more information on the website, but get in touch with us and you will be able to pick your cards up at the World Championships in Barcelona.
Yeah, there's a lot of details for people. You know, if there's you're of a different situation, you know, you're going to Barcelona early. But just check the website for all the details. It's a pretty nice article.
Yeah, and a cool thing to do as well. I mean, as the article says, you know, it's likely that cards will be there in time. But obviously, there's a degree of stress and anxiety around these things. I know full well my passport's not here yet. So there's a degree of stress and anxiety about whether my passport will arrive on time for Barcelona. So just take that a little bit off your plates. They will be available, as well as lots of other cards. We've just put in a big order for a range of cards in different languages from all our sets that will be available for purchase at Worlds, as well as some other art and craft stuff. So very exciting selection of stuff on sale in Barcelona.
And in other news, we have some tournament winners to talk about. We had our Intercontinental tournament, the showdown of showdowns. The top four of each continental went up against each other, and the winner was Abraham, Man of the Moon, taking it away with some excellent play. I think a pretty stylish ob deck and impressive patchwork Hoshiko deck.
Man of the Moon's really been making some big tournament results over the last couple of years.
Yeah, absolutely. It's intimidating how good people are at Netrunner. And speaking of which, we have some other national champions. Ziat winning New Zealand Nationals, Danish Nationals won by Jinsei, Irish Nationals won by Augusta Caesar, and West Coast US Nationals won by Ghostmeat.
That's hot off the press, isn't it?
Yeah, very hot off the press.
I don't think even I had that information.
Hey, we keep things fresh in the United States here. Congratulations, Ghostmeat. Reach out to Fa so we can figure out who the ultimate champion of the US is. We'll figure it out.
We're right in the thick of national season, actually, aren't we? Sanjay. We've got a few more nationals coming up.
Yeah, quite a few.
Over the weekend of the 23rd and 24th. Hopefully the episode will be out before then. But we've got the Hungarian nationals, the Belgian nationals, and the Australian nationals East over that weekend, followed by the weekend after the Finland and Baltics nationals. They're doing a co-nationals and the French nationals as well. So quite a few things coming up over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, and also we got some COs as well. So I think on the 23rd, we got a CO in Seattle. And on the 30th, it's a pretty busy weekend for Netrunner. There's a CO in Berlin, in Genova, in San Francisco, in Aldershot. And all this information, we're bringing it to you from alwaysberunning.net. So, you know, if you're looking for tournaments in your area, you know, that's a good place to check. Also, if you're running a tournament in your area and you want to make sure that we give it a little plug, please reach out to us. Our email address is podcast@nullsignal.games. It should be in the show notes. And we would love to give a special shout out to your tournament. So please reach out.
Yeah, that's right. Someone did reach out to us, is Not Yeti. Reached out about the East Anglia Champs on the 30th of September. Looks like they've got a great event. Quite a few people going already. We're reaching about 20 people already with a couple of weeks to go. And you know how Netrunner players are very late at booking things, picking up their tickets. But they've got a huge range of sides prize support there, as well as a couple of side events. They're hosting the first ever Cambridge Boat Race. Netrunner Cambridge Boat Race. Obviously, the boat race has been going for over 200 years. And also they're doing a Netrunner Dream Crush side event.
What does a Netrunner Cambridge boat race imply?
Well, so when I was at university, we used to do boat races, which were drinking. So you'd all sit in a line like you're in a boat, and then the first person would drink and then pass back to the next person, and it would be a race through the boat. How that works in Netrunner terms, I'm not entirely sure.
You should go to East Anglian Championships and find out, dear viewer. Dear listener. All right. Yeah. I think that was the news. Yeah.
That was the news. What's coming up next then? Should we go to our interview?
Yeah, let's go. Hello, everybody. Welcome to our interview. We have a double header. We have two wonderful guests. Maybe not a double header because they're both here at the same time. I don't understand sports. Anyway, can I have y'all introduce yourselves? Maybe we'll start with Mar.
Hi, my name is Mar. You all probably know me by PSK or Princess Space Kitten. And I'm she, they. I'm leaning more on they lately. And I'm from Barcelona, Spain.
And who else do we have?
Hi, my name is Elwin. Netrunner circles are more well known as Yakuza. Pronouns he, him, from the Netherlands. And do we do new introductions now?
We can. Ellen, I think one thing that's exciting about you is I think you're our first non-Null Signal Games guest that we have on here. Can you talk to us a little bit about what you do in the Netrunner community and what you have to do with Worlds, which is fastly approaching?
Well, I do a lot for Netrunner, and I do a lot with Null Signal Games. So sometimes people think that I'm in Null Signal, but I'm actually not in Null Signal because I like being independent. Probably that what I'm most known for is the laser alt arts that I make on different materials, something that I've been doing for the past 5-6 years, maybe longer, not sure. Also do actual artwork and illustrations for Netrunner, the actual sets that Null Signal puts out. I've done alt arts in the past that escalated into the actual art. I've done pieces like Rezeki, Harkarl, a recent one, Starlit Night. NMITO from the Netherlands. Not put that much thought and time into TOing recently, but I do pull out the stops from time to time. For example, for Worlds.
That's a good introduction. PSK, you want to tell us what you do?
So I'm on the OP team, organized plays team at Null Signal Games. I've been collaborating with Null Signal for 5 years now. And I am in charge of organizing Worlds this year since it's in my hometown. And I push really hard for it to be in my hometown. And also I've been in charge of producing the kits for prize support lately.
And Ma, you've got a bit of experience organizing tournaments in Barcelona, don't you?
Yes, I do. I've been in charge of organizing the Barcelona community event, or BCOM, as many will know it, for the past 4 years. And this year, being that Worlds is happening in Barcelona, we're just going to make an appearance during Worlds and take over the organizing of the team event of the Friday, making the crown of servers and extravaganza.
Yeah, and there's a reason besides the fact that, you know, you're two wonderful people, that you two have a connection, not just in Netrunner, but outside of Netrunner as well, Elwyn.
Where do we
start? Quite an important one. You should remember it.
Okay, wait. I wasn't sure where you were going with this, but yes.
You are in a car.
I am the godfather of her son. Yes. I wasn't sure you were going there with this.
Yeah, which is also relevant. I only recently saw there's a lovely...
That's the whole point. I don't want to make a big deal out of it.
there's a really lovely alt art that's celebrating that relationship. I don't know if people are familiar with the arts of poems that they've made over the years, but there's a... For Worlds, for the Crown of Servers extravaganza, there's this wonderful big deal that you're featured on.
Together with Misha, which is Mars and Procomus' son and my godson.
Yeah. Elwyn, did you have to pose for that? Was it quite a long sitting for Pong?
No. No pose. I didn't even know about it.
So actually, fun fact, my whole family has been portrayed by Pommes in their arts. I started for BCOM 2020, if I recall correctly, as a protagonist of Daily Quest. And then for 2022, Peter was portrayed as part of the three-headed boomerang. And my dad was edited as Gabriel Santiago for Barbados BCOM.
That's your father?
Yeah. That's my father.
I knew that actually. Yeah.
Yeah, it's my dad. Hot Gabe has Hot Gabe. It was really shocking for me to face that my dad's apparently hot. Yeah.
You've got an attractive father.
I will deal with it.
That wasn't specifically the direction I thought this interview was going in. If I can change topics, you mentioned Crown of Servers Extravaganza. What is that?
So that appeared for the first time last year during BCOM. We always have a team event, because they're really fun and they're really casual, and people tend to enjoy them. They get to Barcelona early because it's a very like touristy spot. And I thought it would be fun to change things up and spice it up. So I thought like, hey, why not we do three different formats instead of the usual, everything's in standard. And people really, really responded to it. People were very happy to be able to play Eternal in some place that was not a side event. And it created very nice teams where you not only want to team up with your friends, because maybe all your friends are, they self-nominate like as psychos, and all of you want to play Eternal. And then you have to spread out and hopefully meet new people. And that's basically it. And I thought I would want to do it again.
So obviously with the three different formats there, with the Startup, Standard and Eternal, I've heard in the community that some people are looking forward to the Eternal, and some people are kind of dreading the Eternal section. How would you kind of excite people about playing Eternal? What do you think is going to be there? Do you think it will be the kind of the most challenging part of the tournament? What's your take on that?
Yeah, 100%. That was a concern that was raised inside the organized play team, and we decided to talk with the person that is in charge of the Eternal ban list and point system. They were very enthusiastic about letting this happen this way because, they're Eternal enthusiasts. So we just put together a couple of Eternal tournaments. We're asking all players to put up on netrunnerdb.com all their deck lists. And I know it might be a bit dreading, but it can be really fun. It allows you for absolute bonker stuff. And if you come to the tournament with that, having fun, wanting to have fun, wanting to be in a casual tournament and reminding yourself that this is a casual tournament, like Worlds is coming the next day, I think you can have so much fun exploring new things. So hopefully other people will see that too.
It's the pre-event to Worlds. It's not the main event. Obviously, Eternal has an absolutely ludicrous power level. But on the other hand, you don't need to go to that power level. I'm pretty sure there will be people who will do so. But there will also be people who can take the chance to finally play their old cards again, or play those cards you haven't touched for ages again, or just, sleeve up Desperado again, just because you want to sleeve up Desperado. And if you take it along those routes, I think it's perfect for the Friday before the main event.
I know those Eternal tournaments online were also pretty helpful in terms of what I was seeing people say about them. That people said after playing in them or even seeing them, I think people said, "Hey, actually, this format looks pretty fun." So I love that this event has put this put more of a spotlight on this format, and I hope people have a really fun time with it.
Elwin. A two-part question. One, if you were taking a Corp deck to Eternal, what would it be? And then part B, what's the most unusual thing you've laser printed on?
Okay. What would I play? Probably something red, so probably something Jinteki that goes sideways, so probably RP or MTI Mukundu, MT Mukundu, depending on what the points list situation is at. And it wouldn't be a prison list. It would be a tempo list.
Tempo.
Yes. Small chance it would be a yellow list, but I don't like yellow at the moment in the Eternal. It would probably be something Jinteki that goes sideways and goes only has, 8 pieces of vice at max, 25 assets. Let's go. What is the most unusual thing I've lasered on? Ooh. I was looking for a really graceful way of tying these two questions together, but I can't.
If only there was some way.
Well, like, there is a way, but I wouldn't play ciabatta in Eternal. Like, I wouldn't. The weirdest thing is probably the bread. The bread is easily one of the weirdest things I've ever lasered. But I wouldn't, yeah. No, I wouldn't bring that into Eternal. The list is not that, it's not good enough for Eternal. And
just a short explanation there for those that didn't get the in-joke. Yakuza is famous for a list known as Tiger Bread, which was a sideways horizontal RP list. And I believe you have printed, laser printed on Tiger Bread. Is that right?
No. Actually, the weird... So what I like to do is, okay, I laser things, and I like to laser personal copies of things I design. So I have my own personal thing. So for Tiger Bread, the weird thing that I did was lasering the deck list on actual bamboo and giving that to the TO. And the TO was like, what is this? And I was like, that's my deck list. And they were amazed. The fun part was I pre-registered, I don't know, half hour in advance. And then after talking teammates, after talking to some folks, I wanted to change two cards. So in the end, I just ended up editing the bamboo with the sharpie. People looked at me horrified and was like, it's fine. I can just make a new one. I haven't actually lasered into bread for Tiger Bread. That's what I've done for ciabatta, which is not a Jinteki sideways list, but yellow sideways CTM list that abuses Aryabhata tech.
And winner of BCOM 2022.
I didn't want to mention that.
Very nice. Full circle. So, Mark, going back to sort of tournament organisation in particular, Worlds, obviously, really in the Netrunner community, it's the biggest tournament you could possibly organise. Yes. How have you coped with the stress? What have you found difficult? And, you know, what's your advice for someone like maybe me who might want to organise a large tournament in the future?
Well, first of all, make a beautiful PowerPoint and send it to All Serial Games saying that it's going to be excellent. They might believe you. And then just good luck. I'm actually I have two masters on event organization. So I haven't felt much stress, but I do feel a lot of responsibility for this. This is a community I adore, and this is a game that has given me so much. Thankfully, we are an amazing team, and it's been making the whole process really much more easier than it should be. And Ed knows, he is a part of that team, and he is in charge of all the volunteers. And that has been an amazing thing that he's done for all of them. And I couldn't be happier that he's in charge of that part.
Yeah, you roped me in quite cleverly there. You said, oh, does anyone know how to do a rotor? And then all of a sudden, I think we've spoken every day for about half an hour or so, every day for the last month, haven't we?
Yeah,
I was doing one rotor, but there we go. No, I've thoroughly enjoyed it. It's something that, you know, I've not, just to talk a little bit myself, it's not something that I've really been involved in that kind of process before. I'm learning loads of new skills. I'm meeting lots of new people that I hadn't spoken to before. And I'm really enjoying it, and I'm thoroughly looking forward to, you know, the on-the-day challenges that we come up against and solving them in the moment. You know,
be on the floor.
It's what I do for a living. It's what I enjoy the most. So,
cool. Organizing events is really exciting because you usually have enough time to prep everything properly, and then everything, like, explodes in a moment. You know, like, you don't have a second take. So that adrenaline burst is absolutely real. And I'm looking forward to get to the day and have everything ready. We are an amazing team. We are a powerhouse this year. And we have so many surprises. And we're doing so much new stuff. Like, we set up a gallery, for F's sake. You know what I mean? It's just so good. We're put out a new way of helping all artists that want to both sell their stuff and participate in the event. We've got them covered, and we will have a fixated table where people that have accessibility issues will have in between like the bathroom and the exit, so they're in a more controlled space where, and we have a program that hope will help with side events where we have admitted that our brain power to control all the side events is maybe like not enough. So we're going to be relying on the community to take those on. And we already have a lot of interest of people that wants to do draft and people that wants to do things outside of like the actual card game. We have someone that wants to run a RPG and someone that has, I think I can spoil it. I hope I can spoil it.
think so.
It's the date game, but with Netrunner characters.
Sanjay, you know all about the date game with Netrunner characters, don't you?
Do you want me to say a thing about Netrunner Dream Crush?
Yeah.
So Netrunner Dream Crush is a format. It's taking the board game Dream Crush, and you take instead of the, and it's a game where you sort of pretend to have crushes on different characters, and a variant of this game you can play that's, I would say, superior to the original is you substitute out the very nice stock photos they have for Netrunner cards, and they're organizing a Netrunner Dream Crush event at Worlds. You should come. I don't know if it's spoiled yet, but I can tell you there's some really lovely prize support for it.
That's fantastic. And if people did to organize side events, how would they go about it, people that are coming to Worlds?
Oh, please just send us an email to op@nullsignal.games with the subject on side events, Worlds, and we'll hook you up with some nice and adequate price support for you. And that's mostly it. And one new thing that we're bringing is we finally have a trophy that Jakuza here is making.
I am indeed busy making a trophy out of at least one, maybe two materials that have never been, well, that I've never used for Netrunner prizing or alt arts before. So I can't spoil anything yet. I'm still figuring out how to make a thing work. But I think I'm gonna make it work.
So how did that come about? You know, did Mar approach you, or did you come up with the idea yourself, or
Whoever has come to become know that I'm obsessed with actual trophies. and I thought it was a nice thing to do. I know that it's nice at the end of the day when you win something to have something that you can grab and touch. It's not just like the title, it's like an actual thing. Like it feels nice. So I thought we can do this. We have someone that has been doing this and that can do it. So why not? So I approached him and was like, hey, I have this idea. Do you think it's doable? And he was like, hell yeah. And I was like, yeah. And here we are.
Yeah. It's going to build on the existing Nationals trophies, but be far more elaborate. That's the hint that I'll drop.
Very exciting.
Yeah, I'm hearing all this, and it sounds like some of the stuff that you've been coming up with for this Worlds, I'm hoping that people take this and, you know, this is going to be a fixture of Worlds to come. So you're not even just, making this Worlds awesome. You're making every Worlds awesome. It's really appreciated. Thank you.
Yeah. So I know where to go with this, Yakuza. you mentioned that you have been working with some new materials that you haven't worked with before in the trophy. Is there anything else that you've been working with, new and unusual?
Yeah, most assuredly. Mars asked me to provide some of the pricing for the team event on the Friday. And I'll probably be providing a ton of laser prize support for the event. I'm working with two, maybe even three new materials for the event. Not quite sure I can make the third one work, but I'll spoil it anyhow in a bit. I'll do this in order of specialty. How hard they are to get. Let's put it that way. First thing, I'm working with two variations of a new material, which is double layered acrylic on a gold base. So we will be having wine red on gold acrylic Barcelona edition Ataya. And yes, I'm quite aware this is a podcast and this is audio only, but that only adds to the suspense. We will also be having, and I'm not making this up, this is literally what they call it in the catalog, celestial blue on gold sable. We will also be having some kind of iridescent ID. I'm currently in the lab trying out different variations, but it will be on iridescent material. People that were at BCOM, help me out with Mark, which one was this, 2021?
2020 or either 2022.
Okay.
I think it's
this is going to sound really bad. The one I won.
2022.
Fair. People who were there, they saw a small batch of iridescent IDs, that material. And lastly, I also bring something which is not new, but which got a major amount of hype at UK Nats. I'll bring a new batch of stone obs. So completely stone, thick, heavy ob, super heavy. I thought about that. Ob, super heavy. And I'll bring even more, but those are the things I'm working on right now.
I just, you mentioned that I can't interview you without asking a little bit more about the story of you winning BCOM 2022. Would you like to tell anyone about the tournament and the surrounding events with that tournament?
Okay, well, there's a lot to tell, but I think the main story that came out of it is, and the main story that might still do the rounds, because recently I actually saw it mentioned on Steam Slack, is I actually only flew in to chill, have a vacation. I was planning to play, but I wasn't taking the event serious at all. I was feeling stressed from work, from life. And I was really like, I need to be out of here. I need to head to my friends. Let's just chill in Barcelona, maybe play in a tournament. Done. The evening before the tournament, Mar turns to me. I have 39 players. It was 39, right?
It was either 43 or 39. I can't remember.
Yeah, it was some kind of odd number.
It was some kind of odd number.
And I was like, really?
I can't have it.
Yeah. I was like, okay, fine. It was a half hour to registration. I was like, okay, fuck it. Just sign me in. I'll just play for a round and I'll just go. Morning of, I was like, I don't want to play, but I'll just play. I actually signed in with, I was just like, I just want to play my corp list because I really enjoy this corp list, which is the aforementioned Chibata CDM. And I'll just play Adam. I don't care. Adam is not good, but like I can just wing it with Adam. It's just go, fine. I started playing at the first round. I was like, oh, okay, I'm actually having fun. Oh, cool, I won this thing. Okay, second round. Oh, I'm doing actually quite well. Third round. Oh, okay. I'm not even sure anymore where I swept and where I split, etc. But by the fourth round, I was like, huh, okay, might have a shot at this. I was like, I don't really care. And then Mar showed me the trophies. There were special BCOM trophies, like these handmade felt bunnies that she made. And they were for top of faction. And I was playing CTM. There wasn't an Adam bunny, still sad. But there was also a NBN bunny, a Howard Jackson bunny. So obviously it was like, okay, fuck it. Now I have to continue. Now I have to play because I want the bunny. I don't care about anything. I just want the bunny. I don't want to win things. I don't want a map. I don't want to win this tournament. I just want the bunny. Done. Give me the bunny. Afternoon later, I suddenly won the thing. Honestly, I was shaking a bit at the end. Completely.
That's a great story.
Not a joke. I played to make the numbers.
Yep.
I would not suggest that there's not enough awesome prizing for Worlds 2023, but it does sound like Worlds 2024, we need to get some felt bunnies in the prize support pool.
Yes, because it really motivates people.
I think it's a great story there to sort of draw it back to the tournament. People might turn up thinking, I've not got a shot. There's all these testing groups. There's all these great players. I've been playing casually. Anyone can win. You know, you can go on a hot streak. You can have a deck that just destroys the meta.
Yep.
Anyone can do it.
Honestly, I think the lesson there is if you just go in and don't psych yourself out of a tournament and just go to play and enjoy yourself, you will probably play some of your best Netrunner. You won't feel the pressure. You'll just play, and that will, if you're lucky, reflect in your end result. So, yeah, I think that's the way to go into it, and that's the lesson to be taught from it, and also that we need felt bunnies.
And I think really between the three of you, I'm talking to three kind of tournament pros, tournament veterans here. What other advice would you give to maybe first-time tournament goers or people that have gone to small local tournaments but haven't necessarily gone on the big stage before?
Okay, so I would say come in with an open mind, like make friends, talk to people. Best part of Netrunner, aside of playing Netrunner, is in between rounds going outside and tell the same either winning move or losing move that you had just now. And telling it to the person that comes out and the next person that comes out and the next person that comes out. So you make sure you don't do it again. And just know that we're a very bunch of nice people generally. And it is okay to not be great. And it is okay to play junk. And it is okay to be a newbie and want to do good also. And don't be intimidated. I know Netrunner intimidates a lot. Like, I was very intimidated the first time I went to an event. And feel free to call a judge for wherever you need. And when I say whenever, whatever, it's whatever. You are unsure of what a card actually does. You don't understand what's written in the card. That card is in another language. That may happen these worlds. We will translate it for you. And also feel free to, if you're a bit shy, and that has happened to you're a bit shy, you don't want to, you know, make your opponent feel uncomfortable about anything. You can call a judge. You can stand up. Walk to the side. Talk to the judge in private and then come back to the table. That is also absolutely fine. But please, call a judge.
The thing to remember about Netrunner World, to me, is that it's Netrunner Worlds. And I'm putting emphasis on Netrunner. And that might sound a bit obvious, but what I mean is, if you've ever been to a Netrunner GNK small tournament, you've noticed people are nice. We have a nice community. World is the same. It's just a bit bigger. It's just a bit more, there's more people, but it also means more nice people. Yes, it's the, I'm currently making air quotes, highest tier of competitive play. Yes, it is. But it doesn't mean we're not nice. It's just a big tournament with more nice people. That's all you need to know. And indeed, ask, call a judge. Judges are your best friend.
Yeah. I know, looking at the sort of events that y'all have planned and even the prize support that y'all have planned, I think it seemed like to me, just looking at it as somebody who hasn't been involved in organizing this event, that you've managed to sort of simultaneously make an event that is geared towards the pinnacle of Netrunner play and celebrating, you know, the best Netrunner players, but also making an event that I'm hoping is welcome to people at a bunch of different levels of ability. Was that an intentional choice? What do you think goes into the event being that way?
So I think that Netrunner is generally always welcoming to newer players. We've never put a cap on, like, you know, how many tournaments you've won or who are you to come and play at an event. Like, we've never done it. We are not in any way near to ever do this. But I also think that my BCom is showing a little tiny bit. I am used, and that's just the truth. I'm used to TO for my community here in Barcelona. And I'm used to TO for and organize for BCom that allows me to cater a lot for the players that are coming. And I think that that has been a bit translated, and I've been trying to, at the better of my capacity and at the cost of a lot of people helping me, like Ed here with volunteers and the Discord that we've created for people that are playing in the event and people that are joining the people that are coming to the event that not necessarily play, to have a space where they can talk about how to meet afterwards and what are plans and sightseeing and all these things that.
And I guess while we've got you here, Elwin, you've got history of maybe organizing a few kind of higher profile tournaments yourself. How's that been in the past? And, you know, kind of where are things now for tournament organizers outside of those kind of large high profile ones?
Well, for me personally, I used to do some of those high-profile tournaments, like laser tournaments, Dutch Nats. Probably the biggest thing is running the Friday Crown of Lasers on the Four Worlds 2019. Currently not super active with it due to the general excuse, life. And also just focusing on different things in Netrunner circle. I've gone even more extreme. Well, not extreme, more. I'm spending more time on art. I'm spending more time on lasering, which is probably what I'm good at. The TOing wasn't bad at it, but I find lasering more rewarding for my time. It's easier to get more done, to get more effect. Whilst TOing is absolutely lovely, it's one of the most rewarding things to do in Netrunner circles, but it's also hard, hard, hard work. And it's a lot of work with only a single moment of reward, the actual tournament, and a ton of stuff can go wrong. So yeah, that's probably why I'm less involved with tournaments at the moment.
And I guess, like, you know, if there was something that was gonna assist you to get back into tournament organizing, what could the community, what could Null Signal do really for you to support them?
Easy. There's one thing that I've wanted for probably years now. I want a place where I can communicate with other TOs. I want a place where I have a direct line to Null Signal, and Null Signal has a direct line to me, and I can communicate with other TOs, and TOs can ask me questions because I'm sort of experienced. Like, I don't want to, I hope that doesn't sound arrogant or anything. Like, new TOs can ask me questions, or I don't know, I can ask even more experienced TOs or TOs who have good ideas that I see that they're doing. Like, maybe a TO in the US is organizing a thing and has a grand idea that I can confer to them, and other TOs can see our conversation thread, whatever it is. I want a place like that. That would be so good, because right now, TOs are on their own. Like, TOs are completely left to the sharks. Like you're just on your own, out in the dark, figuring out what to do. If you're not experienced in it, you have to figure out what to do, what to run. You have to figure out your venue. You have to sometimes front the financial cost for the venue.
Yeah.
And then if the tournament doesn't work out, you're suddenly in the red.
Yeah, I've heard that from a couple of people. Yeah. It is a challenge. It's a challenge.
It is rough.
But totally fair.
Just to finish that thing.
Oh, so sorry.
What I and what I'm asking is one thing in that I would be really happy to have that one place for TOs together, because TOs are the lifeblood of this community. Honestly, I believe that.
Yep. Go ahead. To be totally fair, there is a channel in the Netrunner Hub event Discord. It is something that you have to know about, and it is a channel in the midst of many other channels. I do think we can make better effort into solving that issue of communication with other TOs. And there is that's something that is on our list. But at the moment, there are other things that took priority over that. It's something that I will bring up once more to our team. And hopefully we will be able to have a little bit more bandwidth after the new batches of recruitment. And
yeah, I think that's totally reasonable. Yeah. Going back on to kind of, I suppose it's final topics, really. Fun questions. Elwin, what are you most looking forward to over Worlds Weekend and the time around it?
Easy answer. The people. Like, honestly, easy answer. Netrunner to me, Netrunner tournaments to me. I'll put this in words that a good Netrunner friend of mine has said about a board game weekend we had a while back. This whole weekend of board gaming is just an excuse for us to get together. Netrunner tournament is the same thing to me. The whole thing is just an excuse for us to get together and hang. So I'm looking forward to people, because Netrunner people are the best people.
And Ma, yourself?
Sorry.
What are you looking... What's the one thing you're most looking forward to?
I am so sorry to get it over with in one piece. I just want it to happen without a hiccup. That would be amazing. And actually, I'm looking forward to see people's reactions. Like, this venue we've got this year is beautiful. We are very lucky that Casa Rius is also sponsoring us, making it viable for us to play in there. And it has allowed us to explore these other more interactive things that we can do together with artists and the community. And we are prepping some fun activities around all the gallery art theme with the Arizona theme. And there might be some snippets of what narrative can go into the second set of Liberation. And it's just all very exciting. We have an amazing set of prizes that people have shown so much love for already. And yeah, I just have to agree with Elwin here. Like the people, I'm looking forward to see you guys, and I want to see my friends, and I want to meet new people that I've been talking half an hour every day for the past 2 months. It's just all very exciting. I couldn't choose the one thing. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I absolutely concur. The thing I'm most looking forward to, other than my passport arriving on time, which still hasn't happened, is meeting everyone and seeing everyone, hanging out with everyone. And yeah, thoroughly looking forward to it. Sanjay, was there anything else you wanted to ask the crew while we've got them here?
I guess I don't know if I'm putting you on the spot, because I'm never good at answering this about my own hometown. But if you're in Barcelona, besides Worlds, what's good? What should you do?
Oh, you can go sightseeing if you're the kind of person that likes to do that. We have amazing restaurants and amazing food. You can go to Sagrada Familia and visit the amount of amazing architecture that we have here. We have tons of museums. We have a lot of an amazing seaside. And we also have a very healthy skating community. if you're into that, that's also something that you can do. And Elwin here loves to go shopping every time he comes around, so maybe you can ask him for some pointers to where to find cool sneakers. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff to do. And again, please join our Discord, Wells 2023, and ask around. There are tons of locals that will very, very gladly help you out. And there's also Terje that knows the city better than I do. Shout out. Hi, Terje.
That was an incredibly good answer off the cuff. I cannot do that for my hometown. sorry, no disrespect.
You just name a lot of things. A lot of things in a row.
Cool. Thank you ever so much, both of you, for joining us this evening. I know all three of us are excited. Sanjay, I'm sorry that you're missing out this time, but we're looking forward to seeing you at 2024.
I'm looking forward to vicariously enjoying this event through y'all's experience.
Final thought from Ma. Sorry.
Sorry. If you're not coming, who's taking over Queen Bee?
I will send my representative. I believe Deer is going to be handing out the prizes and stuff. And we have multiple Queen Bees who will be in attendance, who will also be able to give the event the prestige and ceremony that it deserves.
Yeah, and if I recall correctly, you have submitted some art for the gallery that will be hanging on our walls.
Oh, I didn't want to presume that I would make this.
Eyebrows.
I'm very excited about that.
Yep.
Incredibly exciting. Thank you all so much. Welcome back to the Rules Desk. It's me, Ed.
It's me, Cephalopod.
Seth, what do you got lined up for us next?
Today, I want to talk about objects.
And to start us off, you might think that when you're installing stuff, you might think that you're putting cards on the table. But secretly, it's objects all the way down. What does this mean in terms of practical, why should I care? What this means is that when a card changes zones, it becomes a different object. So when I play Sure Gamble, the Sure Gamble that's in my hand gets, it disappears into the void, and a brand new Sure Gamble appears in my heap. And more, some more practical consequences are abilities that will try to follow the cards around. For example, if we look at Test Run. Test Run says, search your stack or heap for one program, install it, ignoring all costs. When your turn ends, if that program has not been uninstalled, add it to the top of your stack. Now, we added that text, if it has not been uninstalled. The original printing with FFG just said, at the end of your turn, add it to the top of your stack. But we knew back in the day the card was called Scavenge, but today we have a very similar card called Rejig. We know that if we rejig that program we got for free, that we get to add that card to our hand and then install it again. And now Test Run has, it doesn't know what happened to the program that it installed. So we don't have to put our expensive program back onto the top of our deck. And that's because,
It's a new object. Sorry. So it's a new object, even though it's the same piece of paper that's going back into your hand and back down again.
That's right.
It becomes a new object. Yeah.
And the general reason for why does this game and so many others work this way is that if we were going to have Test Run follow that piece of paper into your hand and back onto the table, now we might have a problem of, suppose I use Test Run to install a card. I install Femme Fatale, costs 9, and I play Rejig. I'm going to return this Femme Fatale to my hand, and now, because you don't get to see what's in my hand, perhaps this is a legitimately different piece of cardboard that I just put on the table, a second Femme Fatale. And rather than having you prove that it's not the same piece of cardboard or having me audit your hand as you do this, we just say, fine, they're different pieces of cardboard. Forget about it as it changes zones. With very few exceptions, most abilities will forget about a card when it becomes a different object. Some other ways you can use this are abilities like N'Golo. It says once per turn, you can pay 2 credits to give something the Codegate subtype. Use this once per turn. If you rejig N'Golo, well, now that's a different N'Golo, and you can paint another card. Another example would be the Ice Hafrun, which says when you res this ice during a run against this server, you may trash a card from your hand. If you do, pick an installed runner card. It cannot break subroutines this run. Oh no, that was an important card that I might need to break subroutines. But if you have a Simul chip, you can trash this N'Golo, perhaps, or rather a breaker you needed, and then install that breaker from your heap again. And now it's a different object, so it has not been disabled by a Hafrun.
And you've used the word flicker there.
Yes.
Where does that come from?
That comes from Magic, where this is just a common phrase for when you exile something and then return it to the battlefield temporarily. And there's some cards with the name Flicker, like there's a card called Flicker Wisp.
Okay. Cool.
However, there's one thing about objects that might not be intuitive, which is that if you turn an object face down, so if you derez a corporate card, that's still the same object. So when we printed the Mirror Morph assets that let you click them once per turn to gain credits, draw cards, install cards, you might ask, can I derez that and then res it and use it again in the same turn? And that answer is no, because these are still the same object. So that ability, even though it was momentarily unavailable to us, still exists and still knows it's been used this turn already.
What's an example of that?
One example that we can think about is Nano Etching Matrix. It allows you to click it once a turn to gain 2 credits. And perhaps you have some master plan of derezzing this card with Divert Power that lets you derez cards as part of that operation. Then you would like to res Nano Etching Matrix again because it costs 0 and click it again. And unfortunately, that doesn't work for you because that Nano Etching Matrix was installed the whole time and that ability to gain 2 credits was already used. So you can't use it again by derezzing Nano Etching Matrix.
Well, thanks for that. I'll take that away to my Mirror Morph games. Thanks very much, Steph. And that was the rules this week. Sanjay, did you learn something?
No, because to be honest with you, I did not listen to it yet. I will listen to it when it's live on the episode.
Yeah, I know, but you meant to pretend, you know. I learned something.
Yeah, oh, I learned so much.
Fun fact for our listeners, I recorded a segment of about 6 sets of rules at the same time, and we spliced them into each episode. So what were the rules? I don't know.
What a great time that episode was. I really enjoyed hearing it, that one specifically.
So off the back of the interview earlier, obviously, you know, unbeknownst to everyone, we don't record everything at the same time. So we recorded with Mar and Elwin about a week ago. And in that time, actually, we've set up something off the back of the interview. I've been busy at work setting up a new Discord for tournament organisers. It's going to be a one-stop shop for all the tournament organisers, both online and in person, to go meet each other, share experiences, prizes, support each other, help with finding venues, communicating to make sure there's not tournaments on at the same time, all those sorts of things, and just getting support from a group of like-minded people.
I'm thrilled about it because I think as somebody who's been organizing tournaments, I probably have some. I'd love to give support to people who are organizing tournaments, and I'd love to get the support of people who've been doing this as well. I'm really excited about this, and we'll have the link in the show notes.
Yeah. If you can't find it in the show notes, do reach out to me. I'll send you a link. Come join us. Right, is that it for Sanjay? Sanjay, do you know what we forgot to talk about?
What?
Lost in Austin.
Yeah. Lost in Austin. Oh my goodness. It's one of my favorite miniseries ever. It's what I've been watching lately with my partner. I love it. I'm a big Pride and Prejudice fan, and Lost in Austin is a mashup of Pride and Prejudice and Back to the Future, more or less, where a big fan of Pride and Prejudice replaces Lizzie Bennet in the Pride and Prejudice universe, and Lizzie Bennet's off doing stuff in the present day, and her presence in the book that she loves so much just messes up everything, and it is so indulgent in the best way. It's a 4-episode miniseries. I'm watching it legally on a DVD that I purchased, but I think you can do other things that would also allow you to watch it. Check it out. This is an official position of me, not necessarily the official position of Null Signal Games. Thanks for asking, Ed.
No, not at all. You know, it popped in my head from nowhere that I should ask you about Lost in Austin. What have I been watching recently? Sports. I've been watching a lot of sports. It's sports season. Arsenal are doing well.
That's a football team.
That's a football team. Thank you for saying football. I really appreciate that.
No problem.
Sanjay, should we wrap things up? Anything else you wanted to talk about?
No, that's about it. I love you all. Thank you for listening. There's a lot of good podcasts out there, and thank you for this being one of the ones you listen to.
We really appreciate your time. Cheers, everyone. Have a great couple of weeks.
Yeah, really good Shadow Knight episode recently. All right, bye.
Bye.